Hi there. Welcome to another episode of the Customer-Led Groove Show, where we discuss and share the best practices and the latest trends in customer marketing, advocacy, and customer-led growth. Today's episode is brought to you by BASE, a pioneer in B2B marketing and the industry's first CLG ecosystem for customer-led marketers, sales, and product professionals. Okay, let's welcome the CLG team and today's guests.
Welcome to another episode of Customer-Led Groove, brought to you by BASE. Today, I'm talking to Iran Livnay, and Iran is quite an experienced practitioner and marketer in the ABM and in the customer-led growth space. Iran, why don't you say hello and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Hi. Thanks, Scott, and thank you for having me here. So yes, as you said, working in this space for quite a while, I have been focused on marketing for software companies for over 20 years now. Obviously, over the years, it's transitioned from software to SaaS mostly, but I think that a lot of the same principles apply with some new twists. And I work with companies, usually anything from very early stage to early to mid growth stage, so scale up, and really try to help them go to market more effectively with account-based marketing, and then also start building customer-led growth practices that help propel growth forward.
Yeah, so one of the things I'm really looking forward to is that there's few practitioners in the customer-led growth space who are thinking about how to use CLG for GTM, you know, go to market. So I'm looking forward to that. But I think a good place to start would be maybe just sharing your point of view about what is customer-led growth. Let's start there.
Sure. Yes. You know, I think there is a philosophical aspect and a practical aspect to it. But the philosophical aspect, I think, is very important because it sort of like gives us our guidance, what we should be looking for. First and foremost, it's a recognition that our customers are really our greatest asset. And if we do things correctly, meaning if we give them great value and deliver great experiences, they should also be the greatest driver of growth for the company. Specifically now, if you look at what the situation is with things slowing down for most companies, I just saw some stats. Over 2/3 of companies missed their revenue targets for July 22. Marketing generated leads are lower than target for over 60% of companies. So if you look at it, for especially for subscription-based businesses, growth from existing customers is much more resilient than new customer acquisition. So especially at times like this, but actually at any time, it can really help companies sustain growth, and even when the overall market is slowing down. You know, again, it's something that is really critical to companies and something that is getting greater recognition overall as well.
And so you're seeing in the marketplace more companies being open to this customer-led growth play. Those that are resistant, or historically those that have been resistant about retention, why do you think that is?
Yeah, I think it's some sort of inertia in our organizational myopia to a degree. So I think that, you know, traditionally growth has been viewed as sales, driven by sales. I think that, you know, when salespeople, you know, how their quotas are being driven and how they're compensated, it's usually driven by new logos and new deals. And I think that kind of skews the entire company in this direction. I think that, you know, in recent years, there is, you know, a movement towards things like product-led growth. So there is an understanding that can't just expect sales to grow the company if there is no good product to support it. And I think customer-led growth is another step in this direction, where there is an understanding that you need to look at the entire company and all the assets that we have. And again, customers, I believe, are our greatest assets, and how all of these assets are contributing to growth.
So I mentioned it earlier, you were on the early ABM train, really early, and kind of saw the evolution of that market. In terms of a new category being created, do you see any similarities or you know, any commonalities between how ABM got started and what's happening today?
I think so. It's still early, you know, maybe too early to tell. I think at the beginning, people were thinking about account-based marketing. It seemed like, you know, maybe a nice to have or something that only big companies can do. That was a very big misconception about account-based marketing. And I think to a degree that may be the case with customer-led growth as well. You know, today, if you look at account-based marketing, it's basically a staple. So, you know, I think that will be the case for customer-led growth, but I think we're still early in the evolution here.
I wonder if we'll have ABX like ABM, right? There's ABX, ABM. I wonder if we'll have customer-led experience down the road. I've started Wilder's Widgets. It's a huge company. It's a Fortune 500 company. How should I think about customer-led growth? Like, I've heard all about this. Sell me on the concept. Tell me how I should think about it.
Sure. So I think, you know, the way I look at it, and now we are getting into the practicality of it. The way I look at it, the goal of customer-led growth is to design programs that are intentional about driving growth by empowering customers to realize more and more value out of your widget solutions. So I think that try to think about it. Think about the different milestones in your customer lifecycle. So, you know, they start with onboarding, then they need to adopt the solution across the organization. You want them then to not only sign up once a month, maybe to use your widget, but you want your widget to be utilized as much as possible. You know, hopefully they use it every day. Hopefully they use it for as many business processes as possible. And in the process of doing so, you essentially increase the value that you deliver to them. You increase the stickiness of your solution in to your users. And what's important at that point is to help them understand what it really means, what kind of value they actually get from it. So in many cases, you know, you ask customers, what do you think about this product? What do you think about Scott's widgets? And they will say, oh, you know, it's great. But then you ask them, well, but tell me, I mean, what does it actually do for you? What value does it deliver? And in many cases, customers have a hard time articulating it and definitely quantifying it. So I think that if you think about customer-led growth, one of the things that you need to be intentional about is helping your customers realize the value and quantifying. So how can you help your customers not only get the value, which is obviously step number one, but also understand what the value is, understand how to measure it, and be able to express it both internally within their company as well as to the outside world? Because then you get to the next step or the next level where they can become advocates and they can become, you know, useful advocates or powerful advocates, because now they can not only say, oh, this is great, but they can say why it's great, what business value it delivers, how it changed their lives, how it helped their company grow. Those are the kind of things that you want to think about when you think about customer-led growth. And obviously, when you get to this point, then you want to start thinking about, okay, so I delivered value to them. They're using the product. They're happy with it. They understand what the value is. They even are willing to tell everybody about it. How can we grow our footprint within this organization? So is there another level of subscription that they can upgrade to? Are there more users in the organization that can start using it? And obviously, the last thing you want to happen is to use them. But obviously, if you've done all the right things to that point, then renewal is kind of a given. But then how do you grow your footprint within this organization? That essentially closes the cycle, because now that they have grown, so you have new users or they're using your latest edition of the widget, now you again have to make sure that they onboarded, that they adopted it, that they utilize it, that they get value from it, and so forth and so on. So basically that becomes a perpetual motion of driving growth. And, you know, that's one reason that, you know, some people talk about customer journey. And to me, a journey implies that there is like a final destination. And, you know, so it's not that I'm against, you know, the customer journey, but to me, it's more about a life cycle or something that is is continuous. You know, you keep growing the customers, delivering value and growing them for life.
So something like a customer-led growth flywheel.
Yes, absolutely. Just one more point about it is, you know, I think that the other part of it is to use sort of like the customer-first mantra as the North Star. Because, you know, I've seen companies that are very big about like, okay, you know, we have to drive utilization, we have to drive expansion. All of these kind of things are important, but they're still looking at it from our point of view. I think that if we want to be successful in driving customer-led growth, we need to flip it around. While we're thinking about increasing adoption, let's think about what it means for the customer. For the customer, it's essentially a change management exercise, right? Because they were doing something different before. Now you want them to use your solution. So they have to go through some sort of a change management process internally. How can we help them go through this process? You know, instead of thinking about just utilization, or while we're thinking about utilization, let's think about how can we actually share best practices with our customers or help them share best practices with each other so they can utilize our product throughout more of their business processes and in better ways that deliver more value to them. Instead of, you know, just thinking about how we get more customer success stories, let's also think about how we can use customer success stories to help customers build their own brand, their company brand, their personal brand. So if we can start thinking about it more in customer first terms, I think that everything that we do to drive customer-led growth is going to be more effective and more impactful.
Yeah, those who've worked with me, I have kind of my mantra of helping people master our products, helping people master their craft, and then help them, you know, accelerate their careers or master their careers. And I think that's really key. I also like what you said about helping people be more successful internally inside their companies and helping them on. We were so focused on, you know, working with our customer and having them, whether it's a transaction or build a relationship with them. But now what you said about helping them inside their companies become champions for their customers, you know, and things like that. So I think that's really nice.
There is, you know, there is the question of customer-led growth and who really owns it in the organization. And it's not obvious that it's customer marketing, but I think because it really is a cross-functional effort, I think because it's unclear who actually owns it, I think it's an opportunity, to be honest, for customer marketing leaders to become the orchestrators of customer-led growth and essentially use it as an opportunity to assert what I believe is the role that they deserve in the organization. I think currently there is a mismatch between how important customer marketing is and how it is perceived in the organization. And I think, you know, looking at it as taking the next step into customer-led growth is really an opportunity for someone that is ready to take the next step.
Yeah. What parts of the organization should customer marketing work with to implement CLG programs?
I think, you know, when I had this role, you know, at the last company, I created this slide that's called like it takes a village. And essentially, I think I had almost every function in the company on it and the different ways that we work with them. But there are some that are more important or, you know, that surface to the top. I think customer success is number one. You know, they work closely with customers. They work closely with individual accounts. The way I positioned it is that customer marketing or customer-led growth, you know, our role was to help them be more successful by helping them essentially build scale into everything that they do. So instead of just doing everything one-off, we were the ones that could help them do things at scale, utilize things that other people have done with or other customer success managers have done with their companies or with their accounts and use them throughout. So I think that's customer success is one. Customer enablement is another one. They usually create, you know, very good training material and other things that can help customers get more value out of the product. They're not always that great, to be honest, about making sure that customers use this material. So, you know, us being marketing people, we, you know, we can help them make sure that they get more traction for the kind of things that they do. So I think these are two key functions, but There are many more others that that we touch. Demand gen is another one where we have some overlap, but we can help each other. Content management. So basically, we need to, and again, this is why I said it's about orchestrating these activities. It's not necessarily even that we have to do all of them, but customer marketing or customer-led growth can take the role of looking at the big picture and making sure that we cover all the bases and that we look at it as a goal to grow customers, to deliver value, and to make it an ongoing motion.
So now I'm the customer marketer. Wilder's Widgets is growing fast. So now I want to implement CLG. How do I approach that? I mean, I know I can hire you and you can provide all this great advice, but in addition to that, I've hired you. Tell me how I implement this program.
So I don't know that there is a cookie cutter or a recipe that I can share with you that I would say, this is exactly what you should do. But, and especially let's think about it. So you were customer marketing. Now you're assuming responsibility for customer-led growth. So you have a much larger canvas to cover and you probably still don't have enough resources, to be honest, right? So I think that what is useful here is to kind of create a framework. You can start prioritizing what you want to do and deliver the greatest value that you can, the most reasonable amount of effort. And, you mentioned that I come from a account-based marketing background. I spent many years helping companies implement account-based marketing programs. And some of the principles that we use there can be very useful here. So one way that I like to think about it is that we can basically divide our programs based on the different scales. So we can have different range of programs, one to many programs across our entire customer base, one to few programs with select group of customers that can be segmented in different ways, and then one-to-one programs with individual customer accounts. So for example, I'll just give a few examples of each one of these. So one-to-many programs, I think, are pretty obvious. It'd be like things like customer newsletter, onboarding emails, our online community, messaging. These are things that most companies already do to a degree. They're not owned necessarily owned by customer marketing. I think they should be, but even if not, then that's okay. When we get to one to few programs, that allows us to actually be more targeted, to be more effective in our segmentation. And we can promote things like, for example, best practices, how to use your widget if you're a financial services company, or how to use your widget for a better lending process, or whatever it is. So we can be more targeted and more focused in promoting best practices. And again, the purpose here is obviously to make our customers get more value out of our solution. By the way, this is also where, things like customer advisory boards may reside. I saw actually that you have a very good tutorial about setting up customer advisory boards. So whoever is interested, you know where to find them.
Check out the CLG campus.
Exactly. So that's a one to few. And then one-to-one programs for specific accounts. These are honestly a very substantial investment in resources. I see those as really applicable only to really high value strategic accounts. This is really where we need to work extremely closely with the customer success and customer enablement teams to tailor these programs to these strategic accounts. Things that we can do there, for example, we can put together some reports that show data insights that would be very specific to that account and what they're trying to accomplish and how they would compare to other customers. And these are things that, can be shared, for example, in a QBR with the account, or, we can work with customer enablement to create customized training materials for this account that guide them through, their unique workflows. So there are things that we can do on a one-to-one, but to me, that wouldn't be the starting point again, because it's a major investment in resources. And again, only for very strategic high value accounts.
So I'm often asked, hey, Scott, I'm a one or two person customer marketing team. This all sounds great, But where do I start? How do I think about it? Like, what advice would you have for these customer marketers who are moving into customer-led growth and just need a, like, they want guidance of how to figure out where to start?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And, you know, the way I look at it, yeah, it's not something that you can do in one quarter. So obviously, I think that it's important to have a vision and a plan for how you, you know, start, experiment, grow, expand over time. You know, I usually like to start with sort of like a 1 year program and kind of lay it out high level and then have a 30, 60, 90 day plan for getting started. I think that really to figure out where you want to get started, once you have laid down your, you know, your vision and where you want to go long term, I would say it's really important to be data driven. So collecting some data. So the quantitative data could be things like, where can we make a difference? So for example, do we have a cohort of customers that have low levels of adoption? Do we have a cohort of customers that are less engaged with our community? Do we have a cohort of customers that we are unable to get them to be advocates and do give us reviews or success stories? So basically find sort of like, where are these gaps in our flywheel today, and try to identify where we can make a difference and then come up with a program that would address this specific gap. That would be how I would start, and basically just, you know, try to show some results within 90 to, you know, 120 days. Basically go back and say, hey, you know, here is what we were able to do. Now let's do more of this, or let's do something different. Where are lessons learned, and obviously grow from there. But that would be one part of the data. I'm sorry. The other part of the data is qualitative data. So, you know, I think it's important to do some sort of a listening tour to go and talk to stakeholders, both internally and externally. You know, one thing that I did, for example, is I basically interviewed all the customer success managers to try to understand what they were trying to accomplish and what were their issues, and then used it as an input for the programs that I put together. And then I also tried to, you know, I obviously couldn't talk to all customers, but I picked a few customers that I, you know, picked up the phone, talked to their champion, to the champions there, try to understand how serve them better and what kind of things we can do for them. And that served as another input to, you know, where we get started.
That's great. Talking to customers, I feel like sometimes marketers are like the cobblers with no shoes, that we don't talk enough to the customers on a consistent basis, right? Like, so those who are good at it, they'll like do a week of customer or a month, and then all of a sudden they don't talk to customers. Now, Zoom has actually helped that a little bit. Right. It's gotten us to interact with customers more. But when I worked at Intuit, I talk about Intuit a lot, is that, you know, it was a requirement. You know, it was like you had to consistently talk to customers and tell your manager what you learned. Your manager didn't want to see numbers. They wanted to hear like how people describe your products, how they describe their work environment. So how do I know if I'm successful in my programs, in my CLG programs?
Yeah, I think that's obviously something that is very important, you know, for us. And also if we want to, you know, make it more acceptable and more recognizable by the organization. I like to think about KPIs for customer-led growth in three buckets. So the first one is the business KPIs. There you'll have things like net revenue retention, product adoption, cross-sell, expansion. And these are really the ultimate outcomes that we want to impact. I think I'll just, you know, say another word here because I think it's really important. I think it's really important for customer marketing to have net recurring revenue as a KPI, because that's a metric that the CEO and in many cases, even the board really care about. And customer marketing can really impact it. So I would say if it's not already something that you're tracking, then I would advocate that you make it part of your KPIs and prioritize programs that can move the needle on this metric, even if it's more of a long-term proposition than something that you can show next quarter. So that's one bucket, you know, business outcomes. And the second bucket is the, you know, what I call the engagement KPIs. These are things that basically help us understand what works, what doesn't work, and how we can run our programs better. So these could be things like engagement in our community. If we do email campaigns, then what kind of engagement we get with these emails. So these are more tactical in nature, but I think it's still, they're still helpful. And then the last is, you know, and not least, is the advocacy metrics, which, you know, many customer marketing or teams already track. But, you know, I think rather than just tracking reviews, how many testimonials, how many references we get, it's really more important to measure what kind of impact we have on growth. So if we can measure things like impact, influence on opportunity, influence on deals of these kind of advocacy efforts, then I think these are measurements that will resonate better with the powers to be and help us advocate for ourselves as customer marketing or customer-led growth function within the organization. And of course, NPS is a key metric that we should all be tracking and influencing as well. It's a lot of things to track, but I think they each give us a different level of understanding, and together they're giving us a good picture of you know, how well we're doing.
Yeah, no, it's great. Three things I might also add is, so for your particular programs, look at the lift or the impact that program has versus something else versus not doing it. So if it's people in your advocacy program, you know, how much more revenue are they generating and what's their lifetime value versus not doing it? Two is that look at trends, like, you know, make sure you have that trend analysis over time. And the last one's kind of difficult, but attribution. So that you have programs together, maybe trying to weight your programs or a particular program's impact on revenue versus another program. So like at Udacity, you know, obviously there's first touch, last touch, and then there's multi-touch, and saying, okay, I got five things in my multi-touch, how am I going to weigh them differently? So some of the things that I'm really excited about is you're taking your experience, and I keep talking about ABM, and applying that to this new discipline. And it is a new discipline, and that you're, you know, at the forefront in terms of trying to figure out like how to operationalize it from a marketing perspective. So Yaron's going to be teaching a course in the CLG campus where he'll go into probably more detail about all these things. One last question I also like to ask is, in terms of your career, or maybe your life, but let's focus on career, what has influenced you the most? Who has influenced you the most, or what has influenced you the most? Like, what makes you you?
I would say that in terms of my career and my life, maybe a few things. I'm obviously, you know, I don't think I'm going to be original about it, but I'm obviously inspired by people and companies who are, you know, do great things. So, you know, for each one of the things that we talked about, there are some exemplary companies that you can think of. You know, if you think about customer experience, you know, Amazon may be the one that comes to mind. If you think about product excellence, then maybe it's, you know, Apple. So, you know, I try to sort of like always think of, you know, and these are actually, you know, mostly consumer oriented companies, but I always like to think that, you know, at the end of the day, we deal with people. So some of the same principles that apply to consumer marketing should be applicable to our B2B marketing, which is what I've been for my entire career. You know, so I've always tried to think about what is the personal impact on marketing, and how as marketers we can think about it. You mentioned the fact that I was early on to ABM, and I would say that when I started with it, it wasn't called ABM. The term didn't exist. One of the first blog posts that I wrote when I started my business was "Know Your Customer by Name." And, you know, people were asking me like, you know, but it's B2B, so what do you mean here? And I said, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, there is a person there. You need to know their name. You need to know their function. You need to know what makes them successful in order to market and to sell to them successfully. So I think that's, you know, that's kind of an approach that has always been with me. And I'm always trying to see, to look for companies and for people that think this way and see what I can learn from them.
That's nice. Yeah. One thing that's not on my LinkedIn profile is many years ago, we tried a startup called Human One. And it was all about B to H, B to humans, and kind of say, doing what you talked about. We actually took a little bit of like an archaeological approach to things. There's for those who like esoteric topics, there's this thing called netnography, which is like the archaeologist of the internet. And the whole thing there is about, you know, and it wasn't applied necessarily to a B2B environment, but treating the customers like humans and really understanding their name and what makes them tick and their environment and all that stuff. So right on. I love it. Anything else you want to add today before we sign off?
Yeah, I just can't wait for customer-led growth to grow. I think there is a huge opportunity here. I'm very excited about a lot of the people that are in this space. I think there are a lot of great people already making great things happen. So I'm very excited to be part of it and to learn from others and to grow it together.
Awesome. We're all in this together. So, well, great. So thank you again for joining us today. This has been Scott Wilder with Customer-Led Groove. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and also at the CLG campus. So thank you. And remember, keep in the customer-led groove. Bye.
Thank you again for joining Customer-Led Groove. Remember, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and on the CLG campus. Feel free to rate us, follow us, and leave a comment on any of those platforms. We hope to see you again soon when we're back in the customer-led groove.